If you could choose a rest day every week that you just get a day off of work just to rest, which I guess for some people, most people is Sunday, but I don't know. What day would you choose? Raven, Tom Brady reportedly will get Wednesdays off this season just to rest.
It seems to make a lot of sense for him. I mean, first off, Wednesday for those guys is usually going to be like a day of, I don't know, getting yourself ready, like with light workouts or whatever. Everybody's work week changes on a different day. For me, Sunday is my normal day off just because the world has dictated it to us. It's not about anything to do with our preference. Football, he could have a game on Monday night.
I just wonder, like, was that Giselle's thing? Like, he was like, she was like, listen, you go back and you tell them that you're going to be off on Wednesdays and having dinner with your family. Otherwise, you're not going back. Although I don't think that's the conversation they had because she doesn't seem too happy. And the reports are that she doesn't even live with him anymore.
I mean, she's in New York. He's down there. I think this is just a situation where the games are over by the latest on Monday. Tuesday, maybe he's got some rehab work. Wednesdays is a good day to just stay home and leave the phone off.
I know, if you could have any day off during the week. So for me, Sundays are not my day off. Sundays are probably one of my busiest days of the week because that's prep day. That's getting prepared for the show to be back on Monday. That's preparing my family by going grocery shopping and getting all the lunches and the dinners ready for the week. It's probably my busiest day. For me, my quote unquote rest day is Saturday, which is a terrible day to have off because everybody has it off.
That's true. That's right. Everywhere you want to go, it's difficult to get into. Anything that you want to get done. Oh, if you get on the road, forget it. Oh, there's traffic here, too.
Yeah. There was a time in my life where I had Mondays off and I loved it because everybody was back at work and it was quiet. Like I could just go shopping and there would be nobody there. I could go to the grocery store. There'd be nobody there. I could go to the gym at 10 o'clock in the morning. There'd be nobody there. Yeah. It was the perfect day to have off.
Service industry, right? You'd go to the beach and it was just full of waiters and waitresses.
Oh, I loved it. It was great.
Wednesday seems like a good day to me too. Anything that breaks up the week. But you know what I would think is that no matter which day you choose, you give it a month or two, you're still going to look at it like as a tough day.
Right.
And that's more about us than it is the actual calendar or the days of the week.
I'll still take my Monday off if that's an option.
I mean, I'll take any day that you'll give me that might be extra.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? You ever wake up, go into Twitter, and then you see something and you're just like, what? What is this? That's exactly what happened earlier this morning when I saw that this was trending. So I'm not even going to tell you what it is yet. There is an Instagram model who has come out, and she is sharing her experience that she had with a celebrity. Here she is.
I was having an affair with a man who's married to a Victoria's Secret model.
It's the way you open it. That's how you open it.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a badge of honor. Like, when did the affair thing become the thing that you want to publicize, right? But okay, cool.
Yep. She goes on, and wait for it.
Maroon 5 is practically elevator music at this point, so I'm sure you know who Adam Levine is, but Adam and I were seeing each other for about a year.
Okay, so she reveals that...
Wait a minute, what?
She's been having an affair with Adam Levine for about a year. She claims that she is the victim in this because she had moved to L.A., and he had told her that they were going to get divorced and that this is what they do in the celebrity world. It's like they don't make it a big thing because of PR. So she thought that it was over.
God.
Although, I mean, like, not for nothing, but like, how do you I hate to use the term it takes two to tango, but like, come on.
What an idiot. You know what? Forget it. You know, there's nothing that I have to say for her. I mean, listen. You see your time, and let's be honest, Adam Levine, attractive guy. I'm sure he's a very smooth character. He's done very well for himself. You are drawn to the magnetism of a celebrity. That I understand. Even if you're somebody that is fame hungry or not, I still understand the lure of that. But what's wrong with you, man?
I mean,
what are you, stupid? Right. What are you, just a stupid guy?
Adam Levine is married to Bahati Prinsloo, who is a Victoria's Secret model. Beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman.
They have two children together. She is pregnant
with
their third child. Oh, my gosh. It gets weirder, Raven.
Come on.
It gets weirder.
How could it get weirder?
Okay. Her name is Sumner, is the name of this Instagram model, right, that he had an affair with. Listen to this.
He said, okay, serious question. I'm having another baby, and if it's a boy, I really want to name it Sumner. You okay with that? Dead serious.
This dude.
I mean, what? You want to name the unborn baby that you're having with your beautiful Victoria's Secret wife, your third baby,
yeah.
after the woman you're having an affair with that you found on Instagram wearing bikinis? Whoa!
What kind of ridiculous nonsense is that?
Right?
I mean, it's just the arrogance of rich dudes. Right?
What is
this do to your brand, your band, all those things? You know, I mean, forget about your family. What does this do to the person who's been with you from, I don't know, a very long time? I mean, again, three children in. Oh, my gosh.
I think about his beautiful young daughters, and I think, and you know, I usually don't get caught up in the celebrity stuff, but he just seemed kind of like a normal guy.
He presents himself as such a nice guy. This is always my biggest problem with it, is the self-righteousness that's involved in it. What an arrogant idiot. Well, I mean, honestly.
So I'm curious now what happens. Like, there's been no statement from his side. There's been like, it's been like kind of radio silence. So does he deny it? Does he come clean? What happens?
Oh, he's on the phone with the lawyers.
Something's got to be happening, right?
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Oh, my God.
Can I name my baby after you? What? What do you mean? No. No, you can't.
And, of course, her views, likes, whatever, all the people following her is going to expand
right
by a gazillion today. Yep. Right. Oh, man. What an idiot. Wow.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's like group therapy, just getting things off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. What is driving you nuts right now? You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Andre, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
All right. So if you were in an accident, if you were the driver that caused the hit and run, and you actually ran, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, that's the thing now. Don't you know that, Andre? Like, nobody actually carries insurance. You know that, right, Andre?
Oh, yeah, Ben, I've actually had a couple getting run this done to myself. One of them definitely had insurance, and the other one just driving somebody else's car. I didn't know what was going on with it.
Yeah.
Terrible.
In my neighborhood, the whole thing is the car is probably stolen.
Like,
that's how bad it is now around here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the car is probably stolen. If they're driving crazy and they hit you and they keep going, that car's probably stolen. So.
I think if somebody hit, I mean, obviously you don't confront them because it sucks, but you're scared because, like, if they have the courage to run away and not handle it, like, what else are they capable of?
That's the opposite of courage. Mm-hmm. That's cowardice.
Yeah.
Different word.
Driving while high.
They're guilty of something.
Amy, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, I work in a grocery store, and without fail, 5 minutes before closing, somebody comes in and takes all the time in the world, like they have all day.
The person that comes in before the close of any business, mm-hmm. right? 2-3 minutes before. On the other hand, sometimes you're just hungry. Sometimes you just need that stuff. There's nothing worse than pulling up to a drive-thru and it being closed 8 minutes early.
Oh.
You want to burn the world down.
But as, like, you know, I'm a restaurant kid, and without, like, the after movie crowd, because, like, you never know how late the movie goes, they will run in, and it'll be like 5 minutes before the kitchen closes.
Yes.
So the kitchen will get that food out fast. But as a server, I remember sitting there for hours because of one table that
right.
came in exactly at 9:55 on the dot.
You had already closed your section, done your rolls, your utensil rolls, all that stuff.
Just sitting at the bar, giving them the look. They're completely oblivious to me. They're having the best time. Another round.
Nick, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you're like a person that's going to like just openly make fun of strangers on the street, like, that's all I need to know about you. It's like, mind your own business. You know, there's no need to call anything out about anybody. You know what I'm saying?
What's wrong with those people?
They're just standing around making comments on people.
Oh, the ones that always got something to say. Like, I'm never going to be on your side. Like, if you, I've been in a situation a couple times, like, you see her shirt, you see her jeans, or, you know, and it's like, I'm never, ever going to engage you on that conversation, ever.
I mean, I'm no doctor, but sounds to me like that's all based on their insecurities, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bully that needs to get knocked down a few pegs. So you know what you do, Anna?
What?
You turn around and go, but what about your shirt? Stupid shirt. What a dumb thing to crack on anyways, right?
Right. 1-800-330-9999. You can always call, too. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Producer John had to bring his toddler son to the emergency room for the first time. What happened, John?
Oh, this was a lot of fun. So we went to our favorite restaurant. We know the owner. So he has the run of the place. He can go wherever he wants. He goes in the kitchen. My son is 3 years old, by the way, just doing whatever. So he is in the...
Doesn't seem like very safe, but okay.
Right.
I mean, it's great to have a place where you're comfortable, but okay.
He's in the banquet hall playing, as he does often, and he is just running full speed. He sees me walk in, and he starts running towards me fast as he can, runs directly into a table.
Oh,
directly into the table, going full speed. And I immediately go pick him up, and at first I'm just like, all right, well, that stunk. He might have a shiner. That's going to be okay. I take him off of my shoulder. My shoulder is covered in blood, and right underneath his eye, he's got a solid cut. Like
nice.
A very solid, and it's bleeding a lot.
That's not fun.
And in my head, immediately, I'm like, okay, this is it. This is the first one. We got to do something other than a typical Band-Aid.
Yeah.
So we go to the, we go to the emergency room, and the doctor comes in, and he takes a quick look at him, and then he looks at me, and he goes, all right, so what are we doing here? What are we doing?
I love it.
What do you mean?
I have doctors like that where I'm so comfortable and they ask me what it is we should do.
No.
Don't do that.
No, no, no.
Just exactly.
Tell me what we're doing.
Well, that's what I said. I said, what do you mean? What are we doing? I have no clue. He's like, well, so you're just going to hold his arms and she's going to, he points to the training doctor next to him, like, just going to hold his head and we're just going to get in there. We're going to do this. I'm like,
oh,
okay,
my gosh.
Time out, man. Time out, because A, you look more frazzled than I am, so what's going on there? And B, what are my options here? What can we do? We eventually decide that we're going to give him the, the butterfly one. It's like the strips.
The strips, yeah.
So we start doing that, and he's still freaking out. I mean, he was freaking out when we pulled up to the hospital.
It hurts. Don't touch it.
So we start putting the strips on, and the doctor all of a sudden goes, yeah, this isn't working. He's crying. He's crying. The strips aren't sticking. I'm like, dude. You couldn't have predicted that a 3-year-old with a head wound that was bleeding was going to cry. You're telling me you don't have like a plan B here? So eventually I'm now lying down with him, because if we lie, then the tears will go sideways instead of down his cheeks. And we finally get them all on.
Well, where did you find this doctor? Toys R Us doctor?
At the ER.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and then I had to do the most fun part, which was drop him off with his mother.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
And we are no longer together and have not been for quite some time. And daddy is the one who was on shift during the first major injury.
Right.
So that was a lot. By the way, my ex was very kind and understanding, and it was all fine. Still not a situation you want to be in.
You know, a lot of my friends, I haven't had this happen yet, but they have to tie them down when they do the stitches.
How scary.
And it's the worst thing. Like,
terrifying.
They tie them, like the arms down and that. They're just oh, gosh.
That's terrible. I mean, that's terrifying for the kid, terrifying for you as a parent.
To watch it. The first time Dakota had to go to the emergency room, Hayden, 13 years old, we have not had to bring her to the emergency room yet. Dakota's been
that
there.
Blows my mind.
A few times already, because Dakota is Dakota. She's just she's that kid.
Yeah.
But it was 4 weeks old, and she spiked a fever, and they had to give her a spinal.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jordan had to have the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Kid.
And they couldn't. And then they couldn't get the IV in her little arm.
Yes, yeah.
My husband had to come because I was a mess. Like, I couldn't even breathe.
Oh,
like,
I know.
You know, like watching them do it. Oh, it's so traumatic when you have to bring your kids.
Jordan's 25, and Alicia will throw up if she tells you that story. Same thing. You guys should sit around and throw up on each other talking about it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh. It's the initiation no parent wants, but you have to go through at some point. First time bringing your kids to the emergency room. Going to the ER for the first time is terrible. Producer John had to bring his toddler this week. He split open his eye, hit a corner of a table.
He's fine. No problem.
He's all right. He's okay.
they did it with a butterfly stitch. He's all right. But it's definitely scary. You know, I can remember going to the ER so many times when I was a kid.
Really?
I must have had at least 10 concussions. But I do remember one time I had to be about, I don't know, 10 years old. And I had my first 10 speed. And we used to race. We had this huge hill in our condo complex, speed bumps and everything. But we would race our bikes down that thing at like 20, 30 miles per hour. And I hit the speed bump right in front of our house. And slid about 20 yards on my face. Right down the asphalt, underneath the truck, really. And then crawled in the front door of my house. My mom had to take me to the ER. Another concussion, pretty sure. But I just had to stay the entire summer covered in vitamin E.
Oh,
it was disgusting.
1-800-330-9999. Susan, first trip to the ER, what happened?
This story brought back such horrific memories. I have three boys, twins, two or three at the time, and a 5-year-old. and they all slept in the same room. The twins were in bunk beds, and my oldest son was in a captain's bed. And it was a Saturday night. We ordered some Chinese food. My husband and I were having a little bit of wine. I asked him to watch the kids while I was downstairs in the kitchen. And my three-year-old twin jumped from the top of the bunk bed to try to land on my son's captain bed and landed on his mouth on the wood part of the bed. 40 stitches, upper and lower gums. But the worst part was when we got him to the hospital, they wrapped him in a sheet and he started screaming, "You're killing me, you're killing me." And I fainted. Right. That was it.
Yeah.
She went down.
No question.
And now you just went down. I get it. No. Like, my husband, like, he had to come because, like, they thought I was losing my mind. Like, I couldn't even speak sentences. I was so scared.
Right.
No worst feeling in the world.
No, no. You'll do anything to trade places at that moment with them.
Chris, what happened the first trip to the ER?
So, it's a lot like your radio host, but as far as the table goes. So, I was at my sister's house. My son at the time was probably about 2, and he's bouncing up and down on my sister's couch, and I'm probably fixing him food or something, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, I hear like a thud and a cry. And I turn around and I knew right away that he split his face open, like right underneath his eye, because he hit the corner of the table. So he's freaking out, crying. I'm cursing like crazy, running back and forth, bleeding all over the place, not knowing what to do. Took him to the emergency room, and he was more common than me. He starts crying. I'm still freaking out. And they ended up having to glue his cut together.
Yeah.
And then I had to bring him back to his mother's house because we had split up at the time and had to explain what happened there and why I wasn't watching him, supposedly.
So much fun.
Right. It's a conversation you don't want to have.
It was scary seeing all that blood coming out of him at 2 years old. I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, what do I do? I can't believe this. I didn't want to wait for an ambulance, so I just threw him in a car and just...
I'm the mom that is terrified of the corners of tables and revolving doors. Mm. I don't like either of those things. I always got my hands on the corner of the table because they just run and their heads are perfect size for those things.
I feel like furniture makers in the 80s were out to hurt children. I feel like they were doing it on purpose.
Still,
so many square edges.
If you look at tables, and I spend way too much time looking at tables because my little one she's the kid that does this all the time. It's like, it's asking to slice open their foreheads.
Oh, yeah.
It's asking.
Oh, yeah. Those are the coolest looking tables. Right. They're also murderous.
And revolving doors just want to chop off their fingers.
Oh, cool. Revolving doors want to kill adults.
Yeah.
They want to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And escalators. Serial killers. Really.
First time you had to go to the ER, was it you or did you bring your child? Producer John this past week had to bring his 3-year-old to the emergency room for the first time, sliced open under his eye, running into a table.
I mean, the last time we had to take Jordan to the ER, it was late at night. He had been out on his boat with his friend. They had had a couple pops on the boat, and while he was docking it, he put a huge hole in his knee.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. First time you went to the ER, or you had to bring your child to the ER?
My daughter at 11 months old, Thanksgiving morning, getting ready in the rush, go to the basement where I had something in the dryer, thought I closed the door behind me, and I turn around after closing the door to see my daughter spin wheel in the walker down a flight of stairs and hit a cement wall.
Oh my gosh.
So 3 days in ICU. She is a healthy, amazing 25-year-old.
You know, I know, like, you know, we didn't know back then, but nobody was smart enough to put two and two together to be like, hey, we shouldn't put babies on wheels and let them just go wherever they want.
Well, listen, we needed the wheel thing. That way we could, you know, build up the gate industry. All right. Right. These guys were hand in hand.
Right. So her little sister every once in a while argues and say, you know, mom kicked you down the stairs. That's why you're like this.
Of course.
John, first trip to the ER. What happened?
Well, it was a nice, pleasant day at the park. I was having a picnic with my girlfriend at the time. Left something on a park bench, and I thought it'd be a great idea to take a little shortcut and hop over a waist-high fence. Ended up in the ER with 27 stitches in my knee.
Oh.
I mean, you made it all the way to when you were having, like, dates in the picnic with girls before you made it to the ER? That's amazing, man. That's impressive.
Uh-huh.
That's impressive.
I kept myself careful until I didn't.
I told you, I've only been to the emergency room once for me my entire life.
I feel like I went to the ER as a kid at least a dozen times.
No. Yeah, Hayden still has never gone to the emergency room. Knock on wood. Knock on everything. Knock on it!
All right. Yeah. Linda, what happened your first trip to the ER?
I was babysitting my cousin. Her parents were out of town for the weekend, and I'm with her, and all of a sudden she starts complaining about an intense stomach ache. At first, you know, I think it'll pass, but the pain doesn't go away, and she starts getting fever. And so I get nervous, and I take her to the ER, and it turned out she had appendicitis, and they had to do emergency surgery that very same day.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. But you should get, like, a reward for saving their kid. Like, hey.
They came right back. I was like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, BM, sorry, we're in the ER. Your kid's having surgery. They were like, what?
How terrifying, though. You're not even the primary parent there at the time.
But you know what? I mean, again, you know, that's a big catch. $20 an hour ain't going to cut it this time, right? I'm going to need your car. I'm going to need something that says to me that you value your family's lives. Mm. Yep. Some sort of trust fund or something you have to set up for me now.
The last time I had to bring Dakota, and Dakota has been a few times to the ER, and she's not even four yet. She's just the kid that does that. I have one that's never been and one that it's like, you know, a semi-weekly occurrence.
Sure.
But my older daughter sent me a picture of her and said, something's wrong with Dakota's face. And I looked at the picture. I was coming home from the gym and her whole face was blown up like crazy and her eyes were swollen shut. And all I wrote was, go upstairs and get daddy. I'm coming. And like, I walked in the door and my husband is just holding her on his lap. I go, why aren't you at the emergency room yet?
What are you still doing here?
Yeah, and that's how we learned that she is severely allergic to peanuts. And now we got to deal with all the allergies. Every parent will remember the first time they had to bring their kid to the emergency room. Producer John had to bring his toddler this week. He cut open under his eye, ran into a table corner. He's going to be just fine.
Mm.
I've been there. It's the worst feeling. And sometimes it happens for really crazy reasons. 1-800-330-9999. Melanie, what happened?
Well, first, I'm a mom of two excessive twins, so there's been lots of ER visits in my world. But my favorite one is when my son was 5 years old, and he took a tiny, tiny little plastic pumpkin toy and stuck it up one of his nostrils.
Mm.
He thought it was going to be funny to blow it out and freak his brother out. However, it got stuck.
Yes.
And we were there all night with the doctors trying to get this tiny pumpkin out of his nose.
Kids shove stuff up their noses.
Why?
All sorts of stuff.
But why? Like, at one point, like, you switch and you're like, nope, I should not put things in my nose anymore. Dakota, too. She's constantly I can't get her to eat a vegetable or eat anything normal, but she will shove things in her nose like it's her job. How is that possible?
It's like a trunk, all right? They don't have any car. If they don't want to carry a backpack, it's a trunk for them.
Alec, first time you went to the ER, what happened?
I was in kindergarten, and my parents always told us if Claritin wasn't working, to let them know. But I was a child, so I thought just another one. I ended up overdosing on Claritin and having to rush to the ER and have my stomach pumped at 5 years old.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Your poor mother.
Yes. I would lock the medicine cabinet the rest of your life. Man.
They only knew that I was how many I took was because I was a little bit of a slob and I left the containers out on the sink.
You thought you were being a big boy.
Yeah.
Thought you were being an adult.
Yeah.
Right? You were like, oh, I'll take care of this.
Oh,
5 years old, man. The moxie on you.
Trying to explain that to the emergency room doctor.
Oh, God.
Oh. Rob, first trip to the ER. What happened?
Okay, so my first trip to the ER was my mom actually had to go in. So she's been admitted to a room, whatever. I get there, I get to go to the room, but seeing her like connected to everything, by the way, she just fainted. That was it. Nothing huge. But seeing her connected to everything
freaked you out.
I fainted. So then she had to get up from the bed and get a nurse. And they're like, what do you need? She's like, it's not for me. It's for my son. He just fainted.
So what's wrong with your family with everybody fainting? What's up with you?
I mean, I just couldn't take it. And I'm like, here she is. You know, she's the one being taken in and I'm the one that's now on the floor. So the last thing I remember or the next thing I remember is like all these people standing around me, getting me up, asking if I need to be admitted. So
that happened to me. But it's not a funny story. But like the first time my mom had an incident and we went to the emergency room, I snapped. I lost it.
And you fainted?
And I half fainted. I half blacked out. And I ended up in a wheelchair and them having to take me out and checking on me. It's not funny.
I mean,
it's terrible.
You all got low blood sugar or something.
No.
Somebody give you a Snickers.
I was scared. I was scared. I was scared I was going to lose my mom that day. Like I crumbled. Like yeah. it was a mess.
You know what? This is why a good friend always carries a spare donut just in case. Right? Oh, you're looking a little peaked. Here you go. Eat this. You're going to be fine.
I could have used a donut.
Breathe.
It would have been nice.
See what I'm saying? Right. Yep. Breathe. Little donut, maybe a shot of orange juice. You're going to be fine.
I remember my cousin was just pushing me in the wheelchair after like 15 minutes. And I'm like, Ange, I could walk. Like, there's nothing. I'm fine.
I'm awake now.
I'm just having a nervous breakdown.
Right. Mom's going to be fine. I'm fine. All right. We're fine.
We just witnessed a fashion emergency, and it was the most fascinating call I'd ever heard in my entire life.
That was true. You know what? I was going to sit here in silence longer because I feel like sooner or later there was going to be information that I could use and garner, either for blackmail or my own fashion decisions.
Erin Herman and Lauren Perez are from the LaureenGroup.com. Laureen Group is the stylist. You guys are stylists. Lauren helps me all the time get dressed because I don't know what to do. At this point, she's just a good friend of mine, and she just tells me when I look ridiculous. So I appreciate both you ladies coming in, and I want to talk fall essentials and things that everybody should have in their closet all the time. So let's start with, like, what are the fall trends? Because I think I'm wearing a pair on my feet right now, and my daughter looked at me and asked me why I was wearing my grandmother's shoes.
Gorgeous. Love them. A loafer. Key trend for this fall for sure. What are you talking about?
Oh, no. I'm really into them. And I like them because so the black loafer is like back from the 90s. And the thing I like about them is that they're comfortable. Like, yeah. Like so many of these trends like are super high heels. And ever since I blew my knee out, like I can't really participate. So to be able to be fashionable and still be able to walk, it's kind of a big plus for me. All right, what else do we need for the fall?
Lauren and I pulled some great key trends, and I think it goes right along with being comfortable. You're going to see the platform is back in a lot of different iterations. So we actually brought with us today some beautiful Valentino pumps, kind of a Mary Jane iteration almost with an ankle strap as well as a platform boot. Very 90s.
Yeah, the high platform, though, like, I remember wearing those. Like, and I don't know how I wore those. But I remember, like, being on the New York City streets and going to the clubs and putting those on. Is that appropriate for all ages? Just asking for a friend.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We really believe strongly in kind of an agelessness to all of the pieces that we wear.
You know, I see the stack of clothes over here. I don't see any crop tops, right? So I feel like, you know, we're going to be all right.
Yeah. No crop tops, but bustiers are also back. Another 90s trend, but again, can be done. You know, we have women of our age that are wearing them. It's just how you wear them.
How do you wear them? Like with a blazer? What do you do?
With a blazer, I think they can also be really sexy at night as long as the proportions of the bottom work. So it's like we don't want to be tight on top, tight on bottom. We want to have a really nice balance, which would mean we can wear a bustier at night, on top rather, and then wear like a beautiful relaxed trouser on the bottom.
Lauren's fall. Here we go. Here we go.
With the platform. So.
I'm sorry. What did she say?
Okay.
Trouser?
All right. So Lauren and I have been having a disagreement for a long time because she's been trying to get me in the wide leg pants now for months. And I keep like saying, I feel ridiculous because I'm short. I'm only like 5'2". So I feel like it makes me look shorter. But she keeps insisting that, no, you got to wear these like wide leg pants again.
But again, to Erin's point, like it's all about balance. So if we're going to be wider on the bottom, we're going to be a little tighter on top.
And if you're, you know, have a shorter physique, when you're wearing that wide leg, getting something off wearing the platform is going to be kind of one of your best friends or a really nice boot to kind of come up off the ground a little bit.
We got the wide leg pant. We have the platform shoes are back. We've got the loafers from the 90s making a return. The bustier.
Correct.
What am I missing?
Color. Color, color, color. Vibrant colors head to toe.
All the fall essentials you need, you can head to LaureenGroup.com. Follow them on Instagram at Laureen Group. That's LaureenGroup. Erin and Lauren, thank you. I am just fascinated by everything having to do with the funeral that happened.
Yeah.
So, first of all, the whole thing has a name. It's called Operation London Bridge. And if you think that this was just pulled off when the Queen passed away 10 days ago.
Oh, no, of course not.
No, listen to this.
Throughout the years, those involved in the planning, including the police, the media, and the government, reportedly met three times a year to discuss and change Operation London Bridge as necessary. Even the Queen herself was involved in planning her funeral.
Imagine three times a year since like 1952 when she became queen, you have to meet to talk about when you're going to die. And imagine if you're the queen that has to sit in on these meetings and be like, when she was like 95 last year, and she had to be like, still here, guys.
No, I don't think they did it when she first became queen.
No, they do. The moment that the monarch takes over the crown, they start planning for their death. This has been fascinating to me.
That's
to
crazy.
Learn all this. They have to immediately start planning for their death when they take over.
It seems like the most useless meeting you could ever go to. I mean, not for nothing, there was a king before her, so they kind of have a plan. Now, I understand the roads changed, the GPS had to update, and, you know, some other things, but, I mean, three meetings a year we need for that every year?
Wait, it gets more wild.
Members of the royal family are commonly buried in lead-lined coffins because lead helps keep the body preserved for longer.
So they have this double coffin that they had to use. It's essentially two coffins. Mm-hmm. So there's the outside coffin, and there's lead, and then there's another coffin inside. And it's heavy. They didn't have, I can't find how much this coffin weighed, but Princess Diana's coffin, which was also the same, like the lead and the double coffin, was over 500 pounds.
Wow.
And all I kept thinking about as I'm researching all this and I'm watching this and I'm so engrossed in this because I'm fascinating is these eight men that are carrying literally the weight of the world on their shoulders. Everybody watching them, they are in step the entire way. Their faces are stone. They've got the queen on their shoulders going for long periods, and you can't drop the queen.
No.
You can't. Imagine if that happened.
No, that would be a very, very bad move right there. Yeah, but I mean, that's what those three meetings were for, I guess, right? Those guys come in every meeting, they're like, the food is here. They deliver the lunch buffet. Let me bring in the coffee setup.
They're the soldiers from the Queen's Company, the 1st Battalion Grenadier Guards.
Well, I mean, that must, listen, I mean, even when you're working for somebody, even if she never spoke to some of these individuals, I'm sure that she was very dear to them, as she was to many people around the world. So, you know, it's kind of like caring for your own grandmother when you're there, right? Your job is to protect her, keep her safe.
I just can't imagine.
Get a real bond.
How, I mean, physically, that's one thing, because these were certainly strapping young men, you know? But just the
wow.
Strapping young men.
Anna strangely hitting on the dudes that are carrying the queen.
I stared at them for a long time. I'm just saying.
Like, man, that dude was hot. Third on the right. Whoa, he was so strapping.
No, the leader. There's a leader guy that walks in front. I was like, oh, okay.
You're quietly hot for the guys that are walking.
Stop.
Oh, man.
But the emotional challenge of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a great job, and everybody was saying, like, how proud the country was of these eight gentlemen.
Yeah, these eight hot dudes. Beefcake that Anna loved.
But I will say, out of all the research that I've been doing as I've been watching all this, you know, British history underway, there was one thing that I never thought I would read about the Queen, and it has to do with a woman in North Dakota. What was that? It's coming up next. Just when you think you've heard absolutely everything about Queen Elizabeth, you learn something else and you just have to smile ear to ear. I love this. Adele Henke. Who's Adele Henke?
I have no idea.
She lives in North Dakota. She is 96 years old. How does she feel about being 96?
Oh, yeah. I can turn a somersault, believe it or not. I can. Whoop-a-doo!
She is full of life, a 96-year-old.
Wow.
So what is her relationship to the Queen, and why are we even talking about Adele?
Pen pal. I call it my pen pal. And I'm going to miss that.
She was the Queen Elizabeth's pen pal.
Oh, that's nice.
They have the same birthday. So they were both born on April 21st of 1926. So when Queen Elizabeth ascended to the throne, she sent her a birthday card and said, oh, we have the same birthday. It introduced herself. And they've been exchanging birthday cards ever since.
The Queen,
man. Can you imagine?
Right. The Queen.
Oh,
there's all these little things about her.
Yep.
That is pretty wild.
She became queen in 1952. And I wrote her and congratulated her, and she sent back a birthday card. So then I sent her one. So it's been going like that since.
Isn't that just so wild and great?
Yeah, that is pretty great.
Yeah, and then, like, they actually talked about things, like, for real. Like, they wrote real things.
I liked the jelly that she put on bread because it was the same as mine. It was orange marmalade. And she had written that back in one of her cards.
Sent her a recipe for it. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's a trip.
And is she sad about the fact that the queen is now gone? No, but she did say this.
And may the good Lord help us get to heaven a half an hour before the devil knows we're there.
Do you ever have a pen pal?
She sounds Irish, that one. I mean, I've exchanged letters with people and notes. I mean, when I first got into radio, it's, you know, as a rock jock, you get all sorts of mail from jail. Jail mail comes with regularity. And then you get a couple friends that, you know, you were friends when you were younger, and then they end up getting locked up for bad behavior, too.
All your pen pals are from jail?
Yeah, I would say so at this point in my life. Yeah, I don't really exchange letters with anybody. I would call somebody or text them nowadays with free, you know, if I was talking with anybody with any kind of frequency. But yeah, pretty much all my pen pals were incarcerated.
And what do you write in the letters to people in jail?
You know, you can describe all sorts of things, what you did that day, you know, what it looks like outside. Any one of those things is it's an eye-opening experience for them. What's going on a TV show that they don't have to watch on a channel that's airing it 3 years after it was a thing.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I mean, pretty much anything. You could talk with them about anything. But nowadays, you know, they got access to, so you can talk about anything.
A lot different than pen pals with the queen, like Adele, you know?
I'm sure the queen had a couple guys that were locked up.
I don't know if she's returning those. I don't think so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I was thinking, I only had a pen pal once in my life, and it was when I was in elementary school. Remember, like, when you were little in school, like, they would make you have a pen pal with somebody in a different state?
Yes,
you would write letters back and forth?
Yes.
That was the only time I ever had it. And I was thinking about how sweet this is, like, having a relationship with somebody and never getting to meet them, but you know all about them just through writing letters. I kind of want a pen pal.
Upon reflection, like, what was the deal with us having pen pals in other states? Like, what were we doing?
I think it was just teaching us how to use mail, but, you know, nobody does that anymore.
They were like, we're going to bolster the stamp industry. We're going to do our best to help them out.
And then they were like, stamps are going to cost like $7 one day. Forget it. No more pen pals.
We're getting rid of that program.
No budget for that anymore.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
It's wedding week on Couples Court. These are all engaged couples that are having disagreements, and you get to decide who's right. George and Stephanie. Stephanie, what's going on?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit stressed. I love my fiance, but we're having issue because I'm a Disney princess. He's known it as long as we dated. I want my Disney over-the-top wedding. I want my ball gown. I want my bridesmaids to be in Disney costumes. I want a Disney cake. I want all the accoutrement, all the embellishment of Disney. I want the castle. I want it all. We go to Disney all the time. He knows I'm a Disney princess. And now all of a sudden, he's like, well, you can have, like, certain elements. It's like, you can't have a Disney element wedding. It's all or nothing.
Just so for my clarity, so are you planning on getting married at Disney, or you're getting married here?
I wanted to get married at Disney, but it's, you know, it's too expensive.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I cut that back. But since I cut that back, then I'm going all in. I'm going all in.
Okay.
George, why are you so against this? Clearly, she's passionate about it, and you know that she's a Disney person.
I'm not against it. I support my fiance. I have a lot of love for her. I think that there's like a time and place for everything. It's probably a little bit too much for that special day because it's half my day also. You know, of course, in a perfect world, we would, of course, would have loved to have had Disney wedding at Disney. You know, we're just not there. I'm looking for a little bit of like a middle ground.
I mean, I feel like the dress and the cake and stuff like that, that's not too big of a deal there, Anna.
I guess, Raven, she says she wants her bridesmaids to dress up as Disney princesses, individual ones.
Oh, no, that's a given. No. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying we're cutting back because it's not going to be on the property. So, no, George, that's the whole point. I want, when we're coming down the aisle, I want to recreate it. That's what I want.
Okay. You know, I get it, but you have to understand Stephanie, too. You know what? Let me rephrase this question, because, George, clearly you know Stephanie is a huge Disney fan. You knew she wanted this. So wouldn't this be a conversation you had before? Like, what are you really afraid of?
I mean, I feel a little bit silly with too much of it. I feel like it might be a little bit too over the top.
Huh?
You think you're going to get made fun of?
But when I wear my Disney stuff, you never say anything. You buy the stuff for me when we go.
I mean, you've never said that
because
before.
I'm making you happy because I love you because I want to make you happy. But it's not like I'm not wearing it. It's not me.
And it has an end date, too. I mean, when you go on vacation, it has an end date. This is your marriage. This will live on. I don't think it's so much getting made fun of. I mean, if he just feels silly at the heart of it at some point, isn't that a problem?
No, I get it. But I also understand that, like, he knew when he proposed, you know, that this would be her vision.
Yeah, so marriages fall apart over smaller things?
I don't know.
I mean, if he loves her, he loves her, right?
You know, I'm stressed enough as it is, George. And I just, you know, I know it's your day, too, but it's really my day.
Mm. Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Stephanie. George, you clearly knew when you guys got engaged and started planning your life together, that this was a big part of her life and something that she wanted very much. You should respect that, but they may see your side, too, that it's 50-50 and you need to be able to make some concessions, Stephanie. Like, I know you're saying your concession is you're not having it on the property, but maybe bigger concessions than that.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's We're Getting Married Week on Couples Court. All engaged couples having a disagreement leading up to the big day. George and Stephanie. Stephanie has always dreamed of her perfect Disney wedding.
Mm-hmm.
George knew that. 100% knew that. So now that they're planning and she's going over the top with it, he's got a real problem.
Well, I think the operating word here is dream, right? Everybody has a dream. We have things that we want to do, especially brides when they're getting married. Some people have been thinking about this since the third or fourth grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at some point we have to come back down to reality and realize that these things are incredibly pricey. And they are Disney people. So they've been going this whole time. They had to know that this was going to come with a huge price tag. He says, we can't do it. She says, even still, if we're doing it here, it's got to look like a Disney wedding.
I mean, even the bridesmaids are going to wear the Disney character dresses.
Sounds cool.
What do you think? Is she wrong for wanting this? 1-800-330-9999. Jennifer, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife. I think it sounds awesome. And I want them to invite me. I'm going to send you my address.
All right.
Right. Perfect. I would also like to go to this wedding. Not for nothing.
It does sound fun.
And entertaining.
I dress like my own characters.
Yes. I'm going to be Moana. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. It's We're Getting Married Week on Couples Court. All engaged couples and their disagreements leading up to the big day. George and Stephanie. George knew Stephanie is a Disney fanatic. She wanted a big Disney wedding, so I'm not really sure why he's so upset now that she's planning just that.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It comes down to the bottom line. I mean, he says, I'm going to feel a little bit silly out there. You wouldn't feel all that silly if you had the money to make it happen exactly like the Disney wedding. It's huge.
I believe him when he says that he's embarrassed. I mean, imagine you and all your bros, and you're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to dress up like Prince Eric. Like,
Call me Prince Eric all day, bro. Call me it all day, bro.
But what do you think? Should they not have the Disney wedding just because he's embarrassed and it costs a lot of money? I mean, it's her dream. 1-800-330-9999. Jennifer, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I think they're getting married. It should be compromise. They're going to be a couple. I think that she's being a little bit selfish. And plus, I think he wants to keep it kind of like elegant, which I think she'll appreciate later.
It's like you've never seen Cinderella.
I was going to say.
Doesn't get much more elegant.
I know,
very elegant. I mean, the ballroom, the dancing broom seemed like a big deal to me.
That was Beauty and the Beast.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on his side. Absolutely. She's not. To say it's our day, but it's my day is kind of a red flag. Definitely on his side.
Thank you.
I feel like that's a personal choice, though, just based on her wording. I get that she's happy and she wants what she wants. I don't hold that against her.
This is a conversation I should have had before.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Whose side are you on? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Oh, I am so totally on his side. I think he should find someone else to marry. She's horrible.
You sound like the woman who goes, bippity boppity boo.
That's the fairy godmother.
Well, she sounds just like her.
Right.
I mean, how could you not grant her a Disney wedding?
I've never done that.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
George, our audience agreed with you. Stephanie, you could definitely have your princess elements to it, but there needs to be a compromise where you're not having a Disney wedding. You're just having a wedding with some Disney touches. How about that?
Okay.
Here's what I think. Okay. Big, beautiful dress, all right? Certainly a tiara, a crown of some sort. The cake, and possibly a horse-drawn carriage. Beautiful Disney elements, right? But they feel grown up, too, and romantic, too. And maybe you won't feel so silly about that, George, and Stephanie will get what she needs, too.
And like I said, I want to make, you know, my fiance happy. You know, I definitely want to give her as much as I can with still within our in my comfort zone, I should say, you know.
You just got to find a Victorian carriage now. Get to work on that this afternoon.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. That's a compromise.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
It's going to be beautiful.
I'm sure of it.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,200 thanks to HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, I've learned that my busy fall schedule does not mean I have to compromise on wholesome, delicious meals. Get 65% off plus free shipping with code ANNA65 at HelloFresh.com/ANNA65. All right, Kathleen, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, would you please leave the room?
Sure. $2,200, Kathleen. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
I got faith in you. I think this might be it today. Let's go. All right, 5 pop culture questions. Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do it?
Yes.
Number one, Enrique Iglesias posted a video from a meet and greet where he's kissing a female fan, which has some people upset because he famously has been dating what tennis star for 20 years?
Anna Kournikova.
Number two, Toy Story actors Tom Hanks and Tim Allen reunited over dinner in L.A. What characters do they voice in Toy Story?
Woody and Buzz Lightyear.
Number three, an Instagram model has come forward and claimed that she had an affair with Adam Levine for a year. Adam Levine is the lead singer for what band?
Maroon 5.
Number four, The Masked Singer Season 8 premieres this week, so Fox released images of this year's costumes. They include a fortune teller machine and a pink dragon dressed as a bride. Speaking of dragons, what Disney dragon is purple and is the mascot for the Imagination Pavilion at Epcot in Disney World? Come on. Oh, know this, Kathy. Know this.
I'm from Mulan, the little purple dragon. I'm not sure.
Okay. And number five, one British channel opted not to broadcast the Queen's funeral and instead aired the Emoji movie. NTT Docomo had a really successful pager called the Pocket Bell, which displayed the first ever emoji. What was that emoji?
The happy face.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yeah.
All right, Kathleen got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Not great, not terrible. $2,200. Here we go.
The problem is the two that I think you'll get wrong, she also got wrong. Mm. So let's see. Number one, Enrique Iglesias posted a video from a meet and greet where he's kissing a female fan, which has some people upset because he's famously been dating what tennis star for 20 years?
Anna Kournikova. Kournikova.
Yes.
Yeah, they have kids. Lots of kids. I think she's pregnant right now.
Yep.
What I watched was she climbed all over him.
Yeah, but then he played along.
What's he supposed to do, slap her?
I mean, no, but you can kind of like giggle and move away. He didn't giggle and move away. Mm. Number two, Toy Story actors giggle. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen reunited over dinner in L.A. What characters did they voice in Toy Story?
They're Buzz and Woody.
Yes. Number three, an Instagram model has come forward and claimed that she had an affair with Adam Levine for a year. Adam Levine is the lead singer for what band?
He's the dumbest man alive. He's the lead singer of Maroon 5.
I mean, number four, The Masked Singer Season 8 premieres this week, so Fox released images of this year's costumes. They include a fortune teller machine and a pink dragon dressed as a bride. Speaking of dragons, what Disney dragon is purple and is the mascot for Imagination Pavilion at Epcot and Disney?
Frank?
Figment. Oh, Figment.
I was close.
All right. Yeah. Number five, one British channel opted not to broadcast the Queen's funeral and instead aired the Emoji movie. Right during the funeral.
I mean, that's really insulting.
Yeah.
But okay.
NTT Docomo had a really successful pager called the Pocket Bell. And that was what displayed the first ever emoji. What was that emoji?
Oh, gosh. I'll just take a shot here and say a dollar sign, a bag of cash.
No, it was a heart.
That would make sense.
I'm sorry, Kathleen. You guys tied at 3. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, this is Kathleen, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, girl. Enjoy that shirt. $2,300 tomorrow, Anna.